The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Hello, everyone. When you think of the word temperance, what comes to your mind? Things like balance, mildness, moderation. That's all part of it, those words, and the meaning of those words. That's all part of the meaning of the word temperance. But that's not all of the meaning of that word by any means. It is much more powerful than that. Temperance includes strength of character. It includes denying oneself of wrong things, wrong habits, and wrong desires. Temperance is a very important principle. It is the ninth and last fruit of the Holy Spirit. However, just because it's last doesn't mean it's least in importance, because it certainly is not. Go get your Bible and follow along as we go through this subject today on the last fruit of the Spirit, fruit number 9, temperance. And let's turn over here to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and read about it. Galatians 5 and verse 22. Please follow along in your own Bible and see it with your own eyes. It says in verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness," and then the last one, number 9, temperance. "Against such there is no law." Temperance means self-control, but we have to have help from God to practice self-control. We can't do it all on our own, by ourselves. It involves character, holy, righteous, godly character. And that comes by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Through the power of His Holy Spirit, He helps us overcome and grow and make good choices as opposed to bad choices. And as we develop that approach and that attitude, He instills in us His holy, righteous, godly character. And that character and that power we have from God's Holy Spirit enables us to practice temperance in our lives and to bear the fruit of temperance and to put it into practice in all that we do. Let's notice Zechariah chapter 4 in the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. This is a very important and powerful verse in the Bible, and we need to keep it in mind in all that we do. It says here in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, "Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, This is the word of the Eternal unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." So the meaning here is, no matter what we do, say, or think, we're going to have help from God through the power of His Holy Spirit. You can go into the Bible and read where Christ said, "Without me, you can do nothing." And then you can read where Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." But how does all that work? That works through the power of God's Holy Spirit. That's where we get the power to make the right choices and the right decisions, and have the power and the determination and the stick-to-itiveness to practice temperance in all things. Can't do it just because we decide to. We can't do it just because we think we might be strong or brilliant or intelligent. We can't accomplish that by might or by self alone. We have to have help from God through the power of His Holy Spirit. And that's what this is saying here in Zechariah 4 and verse 6. "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." So that's how we're able to develop this fruit of the Spirit, this ninth fruit called temperance. We have to make the right choices, and then we have to stick to them, come what may. We have to be unwavering in this matter of temperance. See, someone who has temperance does not buckle under pressure. They're not easily swayed. They're not easily influenced this way or that and knocked about by every whim and fancy and wind of doctrine and fashion and style that might come along in our society today. Rather, they have charted a straight course toward the kingdom of God, and they are committed and set to doing everything God's way, if at all possible. And when we and they, we're talking true Christians, fall down or stumble or make a mistake, we repent, we get up, and we get going again. But our course is charted on an even, straight, and balanced course toward the kingdom of God by obeying God. And that takes temperance. Temperance leads us to go the way of God, to make right decisions and stick to them, and to be unwavering. And we don't cave in when the going gets rough. We're not ruled or led by emotion. We're not pulled off by temptation or physical appetites. This ninth fruit of the Spirit lifts us above all of that. It lifts us above and out of all that and sets us on higher ground. And so then we don't become a victim of our physical appetites or of the temptations that Satan throws in front of us or of emotional outbursts or frenzy or of popular opinion. Rather, we are committed to the right and true way and sticking to that. And that means we're going to avoid the ditches, right or left. We're going to avoid the extremes in anything, and we're going to hone in on the right things and follow those right ways found in God's Word and practice that way of life, and that involves temperance. That involves self-control, denying ourselves the wrong things and embracing the right things. The Bible makes this clear. What a wonderful fruit the ninth fruit of the Spirit is, this matter of temperance. It has so much more power, so much more potency, so much more importance than is generally given to it by people who really don't look into it and understand what it all really means. Most people, when they talk about the fruits of the Spirit, they'll dwell on love, and that's important, or joy, or peace, and so on, and all of those are of utmost importance. But when they get to the fruit of temperance, they just talk about it a little bit and then move on. But it's as important as any of the other fruits of the Spirit when you really understand the meaning of temperance and all that it entails and all that it involves in a Christian's life. Let's notice 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul laid it out here very well. He said here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24, "Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore," Paul said, talking about running this Christian race, living this Christian life, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beats the air, not focused, not concentrating, doesn't have a plan, isn't committed to principles and standards and a particular way of doing things, just flails about and willy-nilly does this and does that and impulsively goes here and goes there, and there's no structure and there's no rhyme or reason or order to their life and to their choices and to their decisions." Well, I mean, he's saying here, if that's how you fight the good fight of faith, if that's how you do anything, you're not going to be successful. And he's right. And you can't run a race, you can't do anything without being organized, without being disciplined. And that's part of this fruit of the Spirit called temperance too. And that's a very, very important part of it. And that is this matter of discipline. In fact, it's all about discipline. "I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beats the air, but I keep under my body," or I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, "lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should become or should be a castaway or disqualified." So he says, every man that strives to accomplish anything knows that he has to have self-control, verse 25. And they do that just to have a physical crown. But we do that to have an eternal crown. But we still must do that. We still must practice temperance. And we must practice control, and we must develop discipline. They all go together. One of the most important aspects of temperance is discipline. We're not out of control. We're not just wild and untamed and unplanned and unfocused. We're the opposite. We have tenacity and determination. This can be a very mighty, tough struggle to do the right thing and resist the wrong thing. And we can't do it on our own, but with God's help, we can win this struggle. And we can become mentally and physically and emotionally disciplined. And with His help, we can really get everything in order and under control. We don't have to have meltdowns and just lose it, so to speak, as the popular term describes it. No, we don't ever have to be in that predicament, in that situation. We can be full of joy, full of happiness, full of elation and expression and action, and we can be animated and just living life to the full and still have temperance, still keep it on a steady course, still have things under control, still apply discipline and proper direction to what we're doing and to who we are and to where we're going and to how we think, because we have that fruit of the Spirit of discipline growing abundantly in our lives, and we must have it. Christ Himself said that. Let's notice over here in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Have you ever thought about this when you think about discipline, when you think about temperance? Look at this, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, If any man come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So what Jesus Christ is telling us here is that we've got to deny the pulls of the flesh, the pulls of this world, the wiles and traps of Satan. We've got to deny giving in to our physical desires and appetites and deny ourselves from pursuing our own path and going for our own goals and submit all of that to Jesus Christ and follow Him. That's what it's talking about. If any man come after Me, let him deny himself. Let him practice discipline and temperance and focus and turn from just giving in to the pulls that he might have and to the pulls and fancies of this world and going the way of the world. You deny yourself that and you turn around and you submit to God and you practice temperance and you practice character and discipline and make the right choices and go the right direction and yield to Jesus Christ and follow Him wherever He goes, you take up your cross. And that means you handle whatever life might throw you. Sometimes it's joy and happiness, and sometimes it's pain and suffering. Regardless of what it is, with His help, you take it and you follow Him. And that's who then is going to be His disciple. That's who's going to gain eternal life, even though he might lose his physical life in terms of what this physical life has to offer, things, fame, position, etc. He might lose all of that, but he'll gain eternal life because he practiced temperance, and he practiced discipline, and he practiced control through the power of God's Holy Spirit, and he built the character that's required to be given this tremendous gift of eternal life that Christ is talking about here. Now, this whole thing that we are discussing requires and involves maturity and motivation and perspective. We're going to have to be able to figure out what's really important, what really counts, and what's not important and what doesn't count, and make the choice between the two. And so if we are growing in maturity to see that and to be motivated because we see things in the big picture. To be motivated to spend our time, our energy, and our life doing the right things as opposed to doing the wrong things, God will bless us and lead us and guide us and give us happiness and joy now, along with trouble and persecution at times, and later on, eternal life. And you know, you can describe all of that in a very, very simple, cogent way. That's having temperance. That's bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit called temperance and discipline. Let's read some more about it. Let's turn over here to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 29. You know, this book of Proverbs is just so full of tremendous teaching and tremendous instructions. You ought to take time to read in this book of Proverbs on a regular basis. Don't let too many days of Bible study go by without turning and reading at least several chapters in this book of Proverbs. You are missing out if you let that happen. Let's notice here in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. You see that? Not a knee-jerk kind of person, impulsive and a hair trigger in terms of his temper or in terms of his reactions or actions. But he's slow. He's patient. He's calm. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit, impulsive, has a short fuse. He that is hasty of spirit exalts folly. It's going to lead to failure. It's going to lead to trouble, complications, and disaster, quite frankly. So, verse 29 is talking about the opposite of temperance. It's talking about being impulsive and too quick and jump too fast and reach a conclusion too hastily. And that's going to lead to folly and trouble and disaster. Temperance will not lead you that way. It'll lead you in the opposite direction. Now let's turn to Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs 25 and verse 28. Notice another verse that makes plain how important it is to practice discipline and to have temperance. Proverbs 25 and verse 28. Look at this. He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. See, out of control. Has not taken charge of his or her life. Doesn't think before he speaks. Doesn't meditate and think it through before he acts. Just a short fuse or no fuse at all. And off to the races and leaving a field of debris and destruction behind. Because he doesn't practice discipline. He doesn't practice temperance. He doesn't have control of his emotions and of his thinking and of his actions. So he's constantly in trouble, constantly complicating everything. His life and other people's lives. And constantly creating just confusion day after day. And it's just like a city that's broken down, has no walls, no defenses, and just gets run over. It leads to collapse and utter failure because he has no rule over his own spirit. He has no control. He has no plan. He has no parameters and boundaries and guidelines that he stays within. It's just like, if you feel like doing it, do it. If you feel like saying it, say it. If you feel like going here, going there, doing this, doing that, throw all caution to the wind, and who cares, and bang, away you go. I'll deal with the results later, and the results is going to be disaster, mayhem, pain, suffering, failure, and sorrow, not only for you, but probably for your loved ones and your friends. There's a better way. There's a much, much better, brighter, and more wonderful way to live life than that. Let's read about it right here in this book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 32. And you can do this. We can all do this with God's help and with determination and practice and commitment. We can change and begin to fall in line with what God's Word says and practice life based on temperance. And what a big difference it'll make. And what a blessing. In fact, many blessings will come our way because of this. And it's very constructive, and it produces success, and it produces positive results every time. Notice here in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 32, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty." He has a cool spirit. He takes his time before he speaks. You know, there's another proverb that says, "A soft answer turns away wrath," and it does. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, better than the powerful and the great and the athletic and the strong people who don't have discipline and temperance. He that has discipline and temperance is better than them. Notice here, "He that rules his spirit than he that takes a city." Somebody is so powerful and so mighty and so strong, he can approach a city and figure out a way and all by himself go in and take a city and bring it down and bring down the organization, bring down the military. You know, in ancient days when there would be walled cities and whole armies would approach and break down and destroy that city, well, they had a leader that was leading that army. And it says right here, if you rule your spirit, you're better than the mighty that do that, and better than the leader of that army that might come in there and do that. You know why? Because you are living life in a way that's going to lead to resounding success. And that's greater than somebody who can accomplish some great feat, and then that's all over, and then what does he do, and where does he go from there? That's how important this is. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, keeps out of trouble, stays out of horrible situations, and he that rules his spirit than he that takes a city accomplishes more, achieves more success, because he has a cool-headedness about him. He rules his spirit. He has temperance. He practices discipline of thought and action. And that comes from having the gift of God's Holy Spirit and cultivating it and using it. It produces a steady, stable way of life that leads to wise, successful decisions and cool-headedness at all times, even when people and situations are spinning out of control all around you. You've probably been in circumstances where things get really tense and tight, and first thing you know, people just start losing control and the situation starts spinning in a direction that's not good, and then somebody takes charge. They have a cool-headedness and a level-headed approach, and they're able to calm everything down and to settle everybody down and to turn the situation around and change it from spinning out of control to bringing it under control. That person has a great character trait who can do that. That is a wonderful part of character, when an individual can do that in the face of impending disaster and panic, and people are just full of panic and terror. And yet, because of temperance and because of discipline and because of self-control with God's help, they can turn that hopeless situation away from failure and into success. You've heard the old saying, cool, calm, and collected. It's a famous saying. Well, it certainly does apply to temperance. Cool, calm, and collected. You still take action. You still react and act. But you do it in a wise, planned, deliberate way, a disciplined way, one that's based on temperance. True Christians are required by Jesus Christ to cultivate this characteristic, to develop this character trait, and to do it at all times. Let's read about it over here in 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. You should read this whole chapter. We don't have time to, but I want to read a couple of verses. 2 Peter chapter 1. And you should read chapter 1, verse 4, all the way through verse 12. But we'll just take time now to read 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. And besides this, Peter is saying, if you want to be in the kingdom of God, here are the qualities that you must develop. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And he goes on and talks about these tremendous qualities of character and Christian living. He says in verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Make sure that you make it all the way into the kingdom. For if you do these things, the things he just talks about here, including temperance, you shall never fall. You shall never lose out. So we're talking about reality here. We're not talking about playing church. We're talking about taking talking and turning it into action. This has to be real. We have to get busy and not think about this and stop there, and not talk about this and stop there, but go on and then with God's help, do it. Develop temperance. Practice discipline. Live by the power of God's Holy Spirit. That makes it real, and it's going to have to be real or else we've got nothing. So let's think about it, and let's get busy, and let's ask God to help us to develop this ninth fruit of the Spirit, this all-important fruit called temperance. Please request our free material on the gift of the Holy Spirit and true conversion. They're free of charge. There's no price, no obligation on your part. The gift of the Holy Spirit and true conversion. All you have to do is call 1-800-581-1317. That's 1-800-581-1317. And also, please remember to ask for Straightforward Magazine. There's never a subscription price on this magazine. It's always free, and it's chock full of so many interesting articles that every Christian should have and read and study. Just call 1-800-581-1317 and ask for Straightforward Magazine, or you can go to our website at straightforward.org and ask for this free material there. Well, that concludes our series on the Holy Spirit and the nine fruits of the Spirit. I hope that it's been helpful. I hope that you will review them, and I hope that with God's help, you'll begin to implement every one of them in your life as you go through this life trying to be a true Christian. Let us know if we can help you in any way in your quest for the kingdom of God and for living life God's way here and now. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.